What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast that wants you to sign its petition to award Philogene that goal. Coming up, Leeds, as in both who can stop them and who has blown them. There's no more JDT at Blackburn, but more Darren at Port Vale, and proof that Adrian Clarke can't do it on a mild Wednesday night in Stoke. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. It's just the two of us here this week, listener. Sam's not with us, so it's me, Matt, and Adrian. And luckily, Adrian, you're recording from home today, which means that you didn't have a studio that you couldn't get to.
Honestly, today has to be better than yesterday. It's crazy. I was due to have a fantastic working day. I was due to go down to the Arsenal training ground and interview Gabriel Jesus and Kai Havertz separately, something I've never done before. Getting first team players is tough. And then I was due to go to Stoke QPR in the evening. On the way down to Arsenal, my car broke down at about 11:15. Two pickup trucks later from the AA, I basically get the car home at 10:30 p.m. last night. It was a day of sitting around waiting inside a car that couldn't move. It was horrific, and I had virtually no internet, practically no phone battery. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. The only saving grace is that I knew I wasn't going to miss a classic at the Bet365. I knew that was going to be an attritional affair, but goodness me, what a crap day it was.
Well, look, things can only get better, I'm sure of that. You did miss a 1-0 win for Stoke against QPR, but I think if I asked you anything about that game in 2 weeks' time, you wouldn't be able to remember much. So I think, you know, it could be worse. You could have been going to Mansfield Harrogate on Tuesday.
Oh mate, yeah. What a game that one. We'll get to that one later. That was fantastic. But yeah, on the Stoke game, obviously I felt compelled to sort of watch the highlights and sort of read about what happened. And yeah, by all accounts, Stoke City basically went back to basics. Schumacher hasn't abandoned the positive attacking style, but he basically said we need a result. By hook or by crook, we're going to get a result. Went with the back five or a back three, a bit more direct, a bit more attritional. And they got the job done. And I wasn't surprised at the scorer, Wouter Burger. I've seen him a few times in the flesh, and he's looked good every time. He's quite a graceful, tall, elegant central midfielder. Lovely range of passing. So, yeah, he's someone to look out for. I think he's been a positive for Stoke in amongst all the recent gloom.
All right, we'll do more midweek reviews shortly. Wouter Burger, pretty sure you can get one of those in German McDonald's or maybe Dutch McDonald's. Dutch, isn't it? Right, before we get into our opening gambit, a reminder of the offer from our friends at Quinbet, who have enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It is 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. Let's do an opening gambit then, Clarkey. I thought after that Jadon Philogene goal, which was given as his goal, then was given as an own goal, now apparently might be given back as his goal again. But it made me think, what's the last thing in football that gave you a similar reaction to when you first saw that? Basically an oh my God moment, this.
Oh, what a goal. What a goal it was. I mean, it's got to be his goal, hasn't it? I mean, he does a nutmeg and then he does a Rabona.
Apparently, it's about whether the shot's on target. But look, I think the shot...
I didn't realise it had taken a deflection, but it looked beautiful, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a thing of absolute beauty. I tell you what, rather than you tell me yours, let's listen to yours and how it went down on national radio. So, you know, I think you were perfectly entitled to react like that because of the magnitude of the result, the goal, the situation and everything. Has he forgiven you yet, Mr. Durham?
I think so. Yeah, he came for me. That packet that they made a package early on in the season. Basically, Adrian hadn't got over it still. He needed to vent. And he is lovely. I've got to say, Adrian Durham, he's a very, very nice man. But yeah, he came for me on radio there and I quite enjoyed it. But it was an oh my God moment because they were gone. Peterborough United were at Wembley, weren't they? Sheffield Wednesday, was it 4-0 up? The comeback was extraordinary. And, it had another twist and another twist. And I'd just never seen anything like it. The scenes around me, the drama of it, it was magical. It was a wonderful evening. Probably my most exciting evening at the football. It was genuinely, oh my God. The one I've commentated on that took my breath away was the scorpion kick. I was on comms for that one, Olivier Giroud. And from an EFL perspective, there's a couple that really stand out. Obviously, that Trivella from Wes Burns earlier this season, he's going to be gutted. He's maybe he won't get goal of the season. And Ismail Assar, do you remember him scoring from the halfway line or in his own half against West Brom not that long ago? That was quite frankly ridiculous. So yeah, there's been a few, isn't
there? Yeah, there has. I would go for either EFL-wise, Brees Samba's penalty save in the playoff semi-final against Sheffield United.
I was there.
Just stood still and flicked
both
it
there, weren't we?
Yes, incredible night that. And also the other one that came to my mind was, do you remember Alessia Russo's goal against Sweden in the Euros at Bramall Lane where she backheels it through the goalkeeper's legs?
Backheel
nutmeg. And that was just something that I've never seen before. And that did actually make me say, oh my God.
I do like Alessia Russo. Yeah, that's good picks there, I think. But honestly, the Philogene one, it really actually upsets me that it didn't go in cleanly, because when I first watched it, I've only watched it a couple of times, I just thought he curled it top bins with the Rabona. So still brilliant.
Yeah, the fun police not happy with it, but we're giving it to you, Jaden. So well done. All right, next we're going to have a look back at what's happened this week. We'll start in the Championship. The most recent one in our minds, as it's Thursday morning as we record, is Millwall 0, Ipswich 4. You can pick your own angle on this one, Clarky. Do you want to talk about Ipswich showing that there's still some fight in their bid to finish in the top two, or the worrying slump from Millwall and maybe Joe Edwards looking over his shoulder a bit? He's certainly looking down at the relegation zone because they're only one place and 4 points above it now.
Yeah, I'd rather be positive, I think, and then talk about Ipswich. And I'd said on the radio, I think on Tuesday night, that Ipswich aren't out of this, that I think that they're still very much in it. So I don't think there's been a sign that they're collapsing. I just think they've had a little bit of a dip, injuries, new faces coming in, some really tough games, but it hasn't been awful from their point of view. And this was a result of performance that sort of outlines their potential. First time the Ipswich has scored the first goal in a league game since that draw against Norwich on December the 16th. So that's a long time to go without scoring the opening goal of a game, isn't it, when you're in the top three? So that was a real boost for them. That was a big moment. Lovely little flick header, wasn't it, from Broadhead. They sort of kicked on, went through the gears. After what had been quite a difficult start to the game, Millwall started on the front foot, caused them a few problems. But they came good in the end. I enjoyed my dad, Harry Clark, getting to the byline and digging that cross out for Kiefer Moore. But what I loved was the downward header that then bounces over the defender on the line and into the net. I love to see that, especially in the middle of winter, by the way. I mean, that's actually quite the achievement, after, especially considering how wet it's been, to nod it into the ground and then get it over the defender into the goal. He'd made a bit of a change, hadn't he? Connor Chaplin had been left out, and Hutchison came in at number 10, didn't he? So that was a little change. They freshened things up. Burgess was back at the back. So yeah, it was really, really important night for Ipswich. Wait for this stat. I'm going to give James Fielden, the commentator, you'll know James, Matt, credit for this, because he asked me to fact check it, and I said, I don't know. I don't know how to fact check this. So he had to do it himself. Kieran McKenna has not lost a league game played between a Monday and Friday at all for Ipswich Town. Played 33. 121, drawn 12, lost none. That's mad, isn't it?
That is very impressive. And they are only 3 points off Leeds, and they've got a game in hand. So still very much in the hunt. But yeah, as I say, Millwall looking over their shoulders. As Southampton are all of a sudden. So their long unbeaten run finally over. They lost 3-1 at Bristol City on Tuesday. It was 25 games without defeat before then. But we ought to talk about Bristol City first, Clarkie. And I think there's an interesting pattern with a lot of these games this week, in that possession isn't the main thing in football anymore, is it? Because I looked and Bristol City had 32% of the ball here. They also only had 4 shots on targets. They were pretty clinical in that regard. But maybe that's the way to get around this Southampton side. You know you're not going to have more of the ball. Let them do it and then just be ruthless when you get your opportunities.
Yeah, transitions, counters, turnovers, all these things that they're buzzwords that you hear a lot of these days for a reason. And that's because it's really, really important, especially against the top sides. And earlier on in the season, obviously Southampton were losing the ball in bad areas, giving goals away. And they'd fixed that, haven't they? I mean, how? It's cruel, really, on Southampton that to go that long unbeaten and to be outside the top two just doesn't feel right. But it is, they are where they are. Yeah, Bristol City, I think, came up with a good game plan. They'd won the previous game as well. And I think performance levels have generally been pretty good under Lee and Manny. They're very well organised. They're athletic, young, kind of fearless at times. They'll go for it. And this was a full-blooded clash. You know, they let the centre-backs have it, but they didn't leave enough space behind their back four for them to clip it over, which is the right thing to do because they're good enough to clip the ball over you for the wide player. So they denied them space that way. And then when they played it into midfield, they got about them and they really hurried them and harried and pressed and denied Southampton control of that midfield unit. What I will say is that the Saints changed two of their central midfielders for the game. You know, one I think was injured. Flynn Downs was injured. Another suspension. I can't remember who it was, but two of the players were out. So they had to make changes there. Two of the front line were also different to the regular lineup. I mean, they're all good players.
And it might have been different had one of those chances gone in, right? They hit the bar at 0-0 and had another great chance. If those both go in, then we're talking about something totally different.
Yeah, I'm not using that as an excuse for Southampton. I think it probably was the right time to freshen it up, and their subs had changed the game against Huddersfield. So they earned their starts, you know, Rothwell and Brooks among them, and Mara as well, who's been in good form. So, yes, no excuses for Southampton. Beaten by the better team on the night. Bristol City, I think, wanted it a little bit more than Southampton, who maybe were guilty of coasting, you know, and they didn't react well to going behind. And now the test for Southampton is, how are they going to react to losing? And the fact that Ipswich and Leeds produced such resounding away wins kind of intensifies that pressure on Southampton moving forward. So, yeah, they really, really need to respond. And it's not an easy game, is it? West Bromwich Albion on Friday night. So that will be a pure acid test, a real acid test of Southampton's mettle. And if they come through it, then this can very much be seen as a blip, this defeat at Bristol City. But yeah, as for Manny's team, well played. Sam Bale did great. Lots and lots of positives. I think the full-back areas worked well for them on the night. In midfield, excellent as well. So you're really, really hard working display, and they can look at the playoffs, can't they? That's it. Hayden Roberts at left back, in for Campering, who Sam did a scouting report on not long ago. Excellent in that particular position. Kept Southampton and David Brooks nice and quiet. So yeah, real shock, but it's about the bounce back ability now. Have they got it, Southampton?
Yeah, always going to lose at some point. Bristol City only 4 points off the playoffs, but Leeds aren't thinking about the playoffs. They're thinking about automatic promotion. That defeat for the Saints reinforced what an excellent week it's been for Daniel Farke's team. Hammered Swansea 4-0 in South Wales to move up to second. 7 wins in a row in the league. Is it too simplistic of me to ask you if they're just going to pull away now and actually finish second with something to spare?
Well, you can ask it, but yeah, the answer is I really don't know. I doubt if they'll streak clear, but I did say, and I'm quite proud of this, I did say ahead of that game on the radio, they put me on the spot in terms of who I wanted to pick as the second place team in the championship this season. I did say Leeds, and I would absolutely stand by it on the back of what I saw at the Swansea.com stadium. It was incredible. It was an amazing performance from Leeds United. They'd lost Patrick Bamford in the warm-up, so a bit of disruption with Joel Peru coming in. But yeah, they started that game with the quality of a top half Premier League team. You know, the speed of it, the quality of the combinations, the way that they break once they win the ball back is actually electric to watch. It's really, really exciting. And Swansea had no answer to it. It looked like Swansea's back four were carrying rucksacks on their back. That was the difference in speed. It was embarrassing in terms of the speed difference between Nonto, Somerville, and Routier and their players. I couldn't really believe what I was seeing. So, yeah, fantastic goals, great performance. But it wasn't just about the forwards. You know, the Ampadu at centre-half, really good again. And
still amazed that he is not in the Premier League. I mean, it looks like he might well be next season, but that was such a good pickup, wasn't it? And holding on to, I know Nonto wanted away, but holding on to him and Somerville and getting Pirou. I mean, that front four with Routier as well, that's got to be up there with the best there's ever been in the Championship.
Yeah, and Dan James, he came off the bench. He got 10 goals this season. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, Nonto's a great shout because Daniel Farke had to put his arm around him and sort of get him over the disappointment of not getting his move and to reintegrate him into the team. And then he's basically left him out for most of the season because Dan James and Crescencio Somerville have been so sensational. Yeah, he's kept him motivated and he's brought him on at the right times. He's kept him interested. And in the last few games, he's got more game time. And wow, boy, did he take his opportunity. He was stupendous, really, Willy Nonto, and the fans were loving him. I'll tell you the other player that I really like in the Leeds team that no one really talks about, and that's the Bulgarian lad, Ilian Gruev. He's class. He really is a smooth operator in the heart of that engine room. Gets about the pitch, recovers possession kind of effortlessly, but it's what he does with the ball, and he just moves it early and quickly, but with real quality, really gives the ball away. He can drop a pass over the top of a defender all day long for those wide players, and he did in this game. Gruev is another great piece of recruitment from Leeds United. I think, yeah, whoever is in charge of the transfers there deserves an awful lot of credit. Brilliant. As for Swansea, there's a lot of work to do there. A lot of work.
Well, the good thing for them is that they're not in relegation danger, right? So you feel like Luke Williams really needs a pre-season, but he can't really drift for whatever we've got left of the season, 3 months, can he? He's going to need to put some results in there on the way. I mean, I say they're totally clear of trouble.
They
can't keep sliding like this, can they? 7 points is the gap that they've got at the moment. And I guess the worry for Williams is that he will think that his type of football is quite Swansea type of football, and it can't take that long to undo what Mike Duff was trying to do. So he would have hoped that he would have got a better reaction from them than what, one win and a bunch of defeats since he came in.
Yeah, it's just, it is the leakiness. That was an issue at Notts County, wasn't it? It was just he had the best forward line at that level to get away with it. So they have to be better without the ball, have to be a little bit more compact. They're really wide open, so much space for Leeds to run into. He'll say we've got to look after it better because he wants them to make the pitch big and be expansive. It's great, but when you play a team like Leeds, they'll win it back off you and destroy you. And that's what happened. Wide open spaces. So there has to be a bit more pragmatism there and probably more quality. But the issue is if they keep losing, they're going to lose confidence. And the players have very little confidence in this game. And if you're not confident, you can't play the Luke Williams style of football, really, because you've got to be brave. You've got to be willing to receive the ball anywhere on the pitch and make good passes. So, yeah, lots for him to do.
All right, we'll go to League One. We'll hope that Swansea don't for their sake next season. And we'll start with a cracking game down under at Brisbane Road, where Leighton Orient beat Northampton by 4-3. You got your money's worth if you went to this one. Orient had led three times before Raul Sotirio won it on 90+7. I think they've gone under our radar a little bit this season, Clarky. Bearing in mind they're 7 points off the playoffs and this is their first season back in Tier 3. I suppose they won't be that bothered, will they, about people not paying them that much attention because it means that they're sailing along quite nicely.
Yeah, no, we've all been guilty of it. I've got a feeling we'll be talking about Leighton Orient a bit more between now and the end of the season. They'll be pushing to try and steal in a playoff spot. It won't be easy, but they're on a great run. This was a tremendous game, a wonderful advert for League One and an advert for clubs that don't have big resources, that recruit well, get good managers in and give them time to build their teams. Because Leighton Orient and Northampton really could be League Two sides. You know, they're at the smaller end of League One, yet they're both doing exceptionally well. And they're playing some pretty good football and they're scoring some great goals. Northampton aren't just about long balls anymore. You know, some decent football in there. They scored three great goals in this game. But yeah, for Leighton Orient, it was terrific. They've won six of their last eight. Really like the look of Ollie O'Neill down the wing. Shaq Ford has also been really, really good for them. of late. Ollie O'Neill was signed from Fulham in January. He's been on loan at Derry City. He's an Ireland under 21 international. Brainbox, Matt. He's a Brainbox. 11 A stars.
Wow.
His GCSEs. And then he got 2 A stars in his A levels.
I bet he gets some stick for that, doesn't he? If anybody in the dressing room knows about it.
Yeah, well, probably, yeah. I mean, I was that version. I didn't get that good of grades, but yeah, I was seen as the SWAT because I did A-levels when I was playing. And yeah, they did take the mick out of me quite badly.
What did you get?
I got 7 A's and 3 B's, and then I got 2 A-levels, maths and English, so in my spare time. Only one lesson a week, I'll have you know. So, yeah, so I did all right. But I've got to say, I was on course for an A in maths and English. And it tailed off quite badly when I got in and around the first team. my grades plummeted. So my interest in it did wane, I have to say. He's a bright lad, and he had a good game here. Two clever short corners from Leighton Orient kind of made the difference. Sotiriou came off the bench to get a couple of goals. He headed in one from a short corner. He's a good player as well. By the way, that Shaq Ford I was telling you about, the wide player, 9 goals now. It's only 19. That's pretty good going, I think, for a teenager, sort of in their first proper season. So he could be a name to look out for and Orient are a team to watch.
They sure are. So 7 goals in that game. This is that bonkers Tuesday night. Daniel Story pointing out, of the 56 teams that played across all the divisions, 31 of them scored at least 2 goals, which has got to be some kind of record. Maybe you could put your maths A-level to good use there, Clarky, and do the numbers on it.
Need that scientific calculator, mate.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, that's the bonus these days, isn't it? There was another 5 of them at the Lamex. Bristol Rovers leaving with the points against Stevenage. They came from 2-0 down here. This the interesting thing here, Clarky. You flagged this to me, a slightly profane clip from Matt Taylor doing the round. So he goes up to the Bristol Rovers fans at the end of the day. They're expecting fist pumps. Instead, he tells them that the players need the support of the fans for the whole 90 minutes. And he said the shirt weighs heavy on them. Interesting comments. We've spoken about Taylor not really hitting the ground running. I was going to ask you if we maybe expect a bit too much from managers appointed mid-season, but maybe he thinks that the task is a bit bigger than he thought from a psychological perspective.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, I think he's had a few younger players in his team, particularly at the back. So maybe he's thinking about them and how they need support. And, you know, he's asking the fans not to bury those young players if they do make mistakes because they've had a tough time. So having said that, they've won 3 of their last 5. It's one of those you can sort of look at it glass half full or empty with Bristol Rovers. They're still comfortably mid-table. There's no dramas there. But yeah, it was interesting. He clearly feels there's a lot more to come. Matty Taylor from Bristol Rovers. And based on what we saw of them in this comeback, he's probably right, isn't he? This was a great comeback. Stevenage, we know about them. They stick balls into the box and they get goals. They're so dangerous. You know, even from the first contact or the knockdowns, they're brilliant. And that's how they got their first 2 goals. And that's how Bristol Rovers have been conceding loads of goals lately. Balls into the box, they've not dealt with them. And he had to make a really hard call, Matt Taylor. And he did it. He took off Elkin Baggett. I think it's on loan from Ipswich. Young defender on 28 minutes. Brought on Scott Sinclair, who's been a little bit out of the picture. Changed the system, I think, to 4-4-2. And basically said, well, let's just take it to Stevenage. Let's not invite pressure. Let's just go for it. Get on the front foot. And they did. And it was a superb comeback. Luke Thomas, magnificent. He played at 10 at the start and then he got moved to the right. And from the right, he was infinitely better. Scored a beautiful goal. Got an assist as well. And yeah, there was some superb goals in it. And I think the strike to win it was from Evans, Anthony Evans. What a way to win a game. So yeah, from sort of 25 yards. Real confidence booster for Bristol Rovers. And for Stevenage, my old team, not saying the wheels have come off, but it does. You do get the sense now that they're outsiders for the playoffs.
No wins in 3 and Derby this weekend. So, I mean,
no, there's no shame in it at all. They're having a great season, but it is a shame to see them fall away a bit.
Yeah, it's funny the way the narrative goes, isn't it? Because obviously they came up with Orient sort of getting better as the season goes on. And so everybody says they're doing great, but Stevenage had that a really good start to the campaign. I can't believe Scott Sinclair's only 34 years old, by the way. That's the fact that's blown my mind.
It's a classic. By the way, I'm Scott Sinclair. It's a classic because he's been playing wingbacks. And I had this in my career. I was a winger. If you're a winger and your team plays wingbacks and you can't really play central midfield, you're kind of screwed. So... That's really why he's been out. Maybe this change of system, if it's kept on, will mean he sees a lot more game time. And he's got the ability even at 34, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. So we mentioned Derby there. They went 3-0 at Exeter. They're up to second. My question on this one was, is there anyone you'd want more to oversee an escape from League One than Paul Warne? But also, we ought to give the Derby board some credit for sticking with him, right? Because they've had their sticky patches.
Yeah, cool. Not half. You know, I've got a mate that's a Derby fan and wasn't enjoying it at all. He's been moaning most of the season about how bad it's been. And here they are in the top two. And, you know, that was their 11th win on the road this season. You know, they've scored 57, second only to Posh. Yeah, you know, they've got the joint best defensive record in the league. You're looking at it and you think, well... The numbers tell you that Derby are very much one of the best teams, but performances haven't always been great. How about this? They've gone to Exeter, minnows by comparison, and had 30.1% of possession. Goes back to your point earlier, Matt. There are different ways to play the game. And this was comprehensive. The star of the show was Max Bird, who's in amazing form at the moment. He used him as a number 10, and he's never really been a number 10, Max Bird, more of just a normal midfielder. Can even be a defensive midfielder. This one passed me by, but he's a Bristol City player now, Max Bird, and they've loaned him straight back to Derby for the rest of the season. And by all accounts, he's come back. Shackles are off. He's basically just having a great time, maybe boosted by the fact that Bristol City have splashed out money for him. You know, it
can go one or two ways, that, I guess, can't it? Because you could forgive him for thinking, I don't want to get injured here, kind of thing.
Yeah. Instead, he's thought, wow, Bristol City want me. I must be a really good player. And he's thinking, well, I'm just going to go out of a bang and play with a bit more freedom and try and get Derby promoted. And what a way to go that would be. Because, you know, he's been there... You know, a long time. He's only a young boy, but he's been there a while, hasn't he? So, yeah, fantastic for him. It was a great goal. I don't know if you've seen it. He wins the ball. He keeps hold of it for a while and then smacks it in from long range. Then he flicks one over the top for Mendes Lang to run through and score. Once he's in behind, you ain't catching Mendes Lang. And then the only blot, I'd say, for Derby at the moment is they signed Blackett Taylor, didn't they, from Charlton. Spent quite a bit of money on him, I believe. He's not been very good since he joined. He's been pretty poor. I think, you know, 5 out of 10 in this game. Gets taken off early. Tom Barkhuizen comes on, scores a great goal. So, yeah, they just need to get him up to speed. But yeah, they've got a good team, Derby, and a very good manager. And they're finding a style of football that works for them. And if they go up, Derby fans won't care, will they?
Nope, not a jot. Let's go into League Two. We'll stay with an East Midlands-based team, if not in the East Midlands, where Derby. But Mansfield sure are, and they're the talk of the town. They demolished Harrogate 9-2, the highest scoring Football League game since 2011. Let's listen to Nigel Clough pick his favourite of the nine.
Oh, well, obviously, Will Swans. However, his touch for Hiram's hat-trick goal in the penalty area was... from a higher level to just flick the ball back inside and Hiram side-footed it in. I thought that setup was the best of the night. But in terms of the finish, just an individual finish, Will Swan's goal was brilliant.
I'm with him there. I wish I wasn't the type of person who can't appreciate the nine and just yearns for them to have got a 10th. But that's just me. Equaled the club's all-time record league win from 1932. You get nights, I suppose, don't you? Very few of them where absolutely everything goes right for you. They had 13 shots on target and 9 of them went in. But it's the context that makes this so staggering, right? Because we were only, last week bigging up Harrogate. They've been one of the form teams in the division and yet they've been absolutely pummeled here.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Best away record, Harrogate. Absolutely flying. Never been better, really. you know, they've been absolutely superb, and then they get spanked nine. It was just one of those nights, though, where you look at it and you think, well, the keeper couldn't really do much about any of them. They were all really good finishes. What I will say is, could they have looked after the ball better and not been caught in possession as much? Four of the nine came from turnovers, you know, where they lose it in a bad area and Mansfield go on and punish them. And, you know, it's a big part of the game. We talked about it earlier on in the pod, didn't we? So, yeah, really, really ruthless from them. Obviously, a hat-trick for Boateng. Will Swan off the bench, two great goals. Is he still a Forest player, Will Swan, or has he gone there permanently?
I believe they've turned it into a permanent now.
Ah, okay, yeah. My favourite goal, funnily enough, wasn't probably the best goal. There was a moment. It was the last goal, okay. And a high ball was played out wide to the sub Aaron Lewis, and his touch was amazing. It was a brilliant touch, and all I could hear was from the whole crowd, as in, you know, that appreciation of the touch. And then he whips in a beautiful ball to the near stick, and Swan sweeps it home. So that for me was the favourite because of that sort of moment where the crowd just appreciate the piece of skill. It's not bad. A good week for Mansfield. Obviously, they beat Forest Green 4-0 in their previous game. Before that, four goals in their previous five games. It's mad, isn't it, football? And here's another stat for you. Mansfield only had two more shots against Crewe when they lost 1-0 at home to the Rowymen last month. They had 23 shots that night, 21 in this 9-goal win. So, you know, football is just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, Nigel Clough said it had been coming, but managers always say that. They're 5 points clear of the playoff pack, and yet I still don't trust them to complete the job.
But yeah, by the way, shout out to Harrogate fans. 127 of them went to the game, and they all stood up and applauded the players and Simon Weaver at the end of the game. They didn't leave early. They appreciate the season they're having, and they knew that this was just one of those nights.
Yeah, not the worst away day for them either. At least they didn't have a five-hour midweek drive home, I suppose. Elsewhere in League Two, there was a big meeting of two teams chasing promotion. The Railway Men of Crewe leaving Stockport Station with 3 points in their hand luggage. 3-1 the score there. A massive win for Crewe, obviously, Clarkie. Stockport have been beaten by Crewe and Mansfield at home in 2024. Wonder if they might prove significant, or are they just little bumps in the road?
Well, they've got to flat track bully the rest, haven't they? That's what they've got to do. Yeah, they haven't brought their best performances to these huge games, which is actually something you couldn't level at Crewe. Crewe have now won at Stockport, 3-1. They won 1-0 at Mansfield, 3-1 at Barrow, and they drew 3-3 at Wrexham. Three goals in three of those games as well on the road against their big rivals at the top end of the division. So Crewe, home or away, have goals in them, don't they? They've won 10 of 16 at home. So those of us that have sort of expected them to be playoffs at best might, and I was among those, starting to think, well, yeah, maybe they have got what it takes, Crewe Alexandra, to get top three this season. And Stockport aren't the shoe-ins that maybe we imagined. For Crewe, set pieces are massive, absolutely huge. 16 goals now from corners and free kicks, couple more in this game. Really good at getting on the second balls. Dimitriou, the centre-half's got 7 goals. He got a goal and an assist in this game. Swung a nice cross in for Ed Turns to head home. So, yeah, it's been a cracking season. For Lee Bell, a manager that, you know, doesn't get much sort of court time. He's not quite low profile. Changed the system for this one. Went 4-1-3-2. And I've had a little look. It's the first time he'd used that system all season. So went with a special game plan for a special game. This is 9th different formation of the season, Lee Bell. He'll just tweak it game on game. The system he's used most is 3-4-3, and he's only used it 7 times. So, yeah, you never know what you're going to get when you play against Crewe. But at the moment, you get a lot of goals and a lot of wins.
Yeah, it can be a good thing, can't it? We're often sort of critical of managers who don't pick and stick with a formation. But if you can bamboozle the opposition, that's half the job done. It's looking really interesting at the top of League Two. You've got Stockport 61, Mansfield 60, Crewe 57. That's the automatics. Then Wrexham, 2 points behind Crewe. Barrow, MK Dons still in the mix for automatic promotion as well. All right, that was midweek. We're going to have a look at some of the weekend's games next. In the Championship then, Clarkey, big grudge match at Deepdale, Preston North End. Welcome, but not really welcome, Blackburn Rovers. And we're going to start with them because they're under new management. John Eustace in situ, beaten in his first game at Birmingham in midweek, having watched from the stands as Blackburn saw off Stoke last weekend. What about the departure of John Dal Thomason then? It felt like one of those kind of classless dismissals where it was common knowledge for a few days before they actually announced that it had done, which feels like not... I know they've been on the slide a bit, no wins in the last eight league games, but it's not a good way to do it.
No, not really. There were whispers that he's been lined up by Sweden, I think. I'm not sure if he's taken that job or not, but mate, it might have been part mutual. You never know. It feels like it'd run its course anyway. And yeah, they were losing too many games, leaking too many goals, and probably a change was necessary. Even though it doesn't mean he's a bad coach. I think he's a really smart coach, actually, John Dal Thomason. But yeah, just had reached the end of the road, and obviously he lost Wharton to Crystal Palace. Travis went on loan, bizarrely, to Ipswich. Didn't understand that at all when Wharton and Travis was his midfield. So yeah, it was a few strange times really there. But yeah, Eustace got a good win, didn't he, in his first game. This wasn't so good against Birmingham. And yeah, he's got Carl McFadden in the middle of a back three. That looks like the way he's going to go. They'll be counter-attacking. That'll be the change. So Blackburn got a lot of technical players, decent players, but I think he's going to make them more solid and more of a counter-attacking side. So with that in mind, I think this is not a good game for Blackburn, actually, because Preston North End aren't a team that want loads of the ball either. So I don't see them leaving big holes on turnovers and transitions. So I think it's going to be a slog. It's going to be a proper derby.
Not the time you want to be playing Preston either, is it? Because they've been so sort of consistently inconsistent this season. You want to catch them when they're on one of their long spells without a win rather than three on the bounce. And especially given that two of those have come at home against Ipswich and Middlesbrough in midweek. So they're going to be coming into this one full of confidence. And yeah, as you say, would you make them slight favourites?
Oh, I'd make Preston favourites, Steve. I would, yeah. They won at Ewood as well, didn't they, earlier on in the season. Late winner there. But yeah, good wins against Ipswich, Cardiff and Borough. What's interesting about these games is that they were unbelievably efficient and maybe rode their luck a little bit. Ipswich, 10 shots to Ipswich's 25. Cardiff, they had three shots to Cardiff's 14. And Borough had seven shots to Borough's 20. I've added that up. That's 20 shots for, 59 against. Yet they've won three on the spin, Preston North End. I mean, football doesn't make sense sometimes, does it? but they've got spirit. Of Preston, Ryan Lowe, he gets into his players and there's a good camaraderie there, I can tell it. And no matter who's out, and in this game, I think Brad Potts is out and Andrew Hughes, looks like he's lost both of those guys. Whoever comes in, they will graft as a team. I think this is going to be a tight, low-scoring Northwest derby. Is it a Lancashire derby?
Lancashire derby, yeah.
Lancashire derby, yeah. So I would lean towards Preston, but... yeah, we'll see.
All right. My prediction would be that there'll be more cards than goals in that game.
Definitely. I think that's nailed on.
In League One, we got Cheltenham against Port Vale at the stadium where Johnny no longer rocks. Cheltenham have got the old Port Vale manager. Port Vale have got a new manager. Darren Moore, he's never out of work for long, is he? 5.5-year contract. Nice work if you can get it. I bet he was pleased, Adrian, that game at Peterborough was called up in midweek. He didn't want to go back there as his first game in charge of his new club, I wouldn't think. But do you think this is an appointment that works for both? Did it surprise you, given how he struggled at Huddersfield, or a Port Vale more thinking, well, this is a guy who's actually got a team promoted from the division we're in within the last year?
I don't know. All I know is that when I heard, and I did hear it, I think on the radio first, I heard it was a 5.5-year deal. I nearly spat out my cup of coffee because I just thought, what? 5.5 years for a League One manager?
I mean, there's caveats to that, aren't there? Because I always think back to the David Moyes 7 years at Man United or Graham Potter at Chelsea. It's like you get a big contract, but the clause is if we sack you within 12, 18 months, we're going to pay you out for one extra year, not the 6 years that we're remaining kind of thing. So it can be a little bit misleading.
Yeah, it can. I don't know what the point of giving 5.5-year contracts are then, really. He's lucky to get that. So good on Darren Moore. Yeah, I think Port Vale obviously see it as a bit of a coup. You know, they've got a guy that's that's achieved a lot of success and has been managing at a higher level. But yeah, you know that me and Sam aren't completely sold on Darren Moore's tactical credentials. So I think there's a fair bit of work for him to do there. He needs to get more goals out of that team. Garrity's injury didn't help them, of course, but yeah, they need more goals, and yeah, they need to improve. And this won't be an easy game against Cheltenham, obviously managed by Daryl Clark. Now, if Daryl Clark keeps Cheltenham in League One, is he manager of the season?
Well, yeah, from where they were, be incredible, weren't it? Back-to-back wins, they're within 3 points of safety now. Elliot Bonds got both that 2-0 win against Blackpool in midweek. Premium Bonds, I suppose you could say, for him. But that would be embarrassing for Port Vale, wouldn't it? You know, if he keeps them up and then they've cycled through managers, they're having to give somebody 5.5-year contract just to say, hey, we're showing some commitment to somebody now. We don't want to keep hiring and firing. Well, you might as well have kept Daryl Clark.
Yeah, exactly. I personally think Darren Clark's a little bit better than Darren Moore as a manager. So yeah, I think Cheltenham have got the better end of that. And yeah, I just think it's an incredible job because they were on their knees, had zero confidence in front of goal, couldn't score a goal, and now I think they're like one win away from having safety in their own hands, which is incredible. So in a way, you would probably almost fancy Cheltenham now to avoid the drop given their results of late. And the win against Blackpool, by the way, was not a fluke. Shots on target, they had 8. Blackpool had 1. Total shots was 16-3. You know, this was a pretty convincing, straightforward 2-0 home win against a strong Blackpool team. So yeah, Cheltenham, I make favourites here to beat Port Vale, who will obviously be hoping for the new manager bounce.
Yeah, they're both in the relegation zone ahead of kickoff. Port Vale got 31 points. They do have a game in hand on Cheltenham. Let's go into League Two, where the sequel is rarely as good as the original. Yes, The Godfather 2, fine. But anyway, it's Wrexham against Notts County at the Racecourse. Probably not going to be as dramatic as last season's meeting when Ben Foster saved a 96th-minute penalty to give Wrexham a 3-2 win. Wrexham are fourth. They're 2 points off the automatics. Notts in the final playoff place on goal difference after they got their first win under Stuart Maynard at Newport in midweek. Macaulay Langstaff, Clarke, he scored twice in that game. I want to know, who would you rather have in your team out of Langstaff and Paul Mullen?
That's so hard. So I would prefer Paul Mullen, personally, because I think he's a slightly better player. I just think he offers a little bit more, scores maybe a wider range of goals. Got a real strong personality, Marlin. He's dealt with pressure at Wrexham so well. And yeah, I've got a lot of admiration for him, actually, going down. I mean, we took the mickey out of him at the time for going down a few levels, but he's kind of made everybody eat their words. And he's better known as a consequence of playing for Wrexham. I don't want to take anything away from Macaulay Langstaff, an absolute goal machine.
22, just, top scorer in the league.
Eats goals, doesn't he? I mean, what I'm going to do, I'm going to look through all of their goals. I want to look through all of Langstaff's goals this season, do a bit of a scout report. And I also want to look at Jody Jones and look at all of his assists, because he has got 20.
That's
no one
insane.
Gets 20 assists by February, do they? I mean, what's going on?
People don't get that many in a season, never mind not even a full season.
20 assists. So both of them are top of the charts. So yeah, maybe not the next pod, because we don't want to go count too mad on Notts County. But in the coming weeks, I'm gonna spend time, I'm going to analyse every goal and assist that those two have made and report back, because that is seriously impressive. It really is. And yeah, this is a good game, really good game. What I'll say about Notts is that they can score goals against, you know, any team, we know that, but maybe not as many against the big boys. They haven't beaten anyone in the top eight yet, Notts County, and they've never scored more than one against the current top eight either. They've been smashing everybody else, scoring threes, fours and fives. When they come up against the best teams, they get nullified. So that's the task for Maynard moving forward. As for Wrexham, look, just a sign of their power. And I know they've had a bit of a bad run, which they put right, didn't they, with a win at Sutton, wasn't it, in midweek. They started with Fletcher and Marriott in attack this game. Mullen was on the bench, real rarity. They ended the game with Mullen and Palmer up front. So you got Fletcher and Marriott. You gave us 60 minutes, boys, and then we'll bring on Mullen and Ollie Palmer, who got them up so spectacularly. So it's kind of not fair, the firepower that Wrexham have. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, on paper, these are two very attack-minded teams that have great goal threats. It should be 3-3 or something, or 3-2 Wrexham again. But yeah, maybe with what's at stake and how well they know each other, might be a bit tighter this time around.
Big couple of games coming up for both these teams after their meeting at the weekend. Wrexham go to MK Dons and Notts County play Crewe. So we'll know a little bit more about them after those matches. All right, we are nearly done for today. Before we go, let me remind you of the offer from our friends at Quinbet. They've enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers at sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18 plus. And remember, always gamble responsibly.
What about a quiz?
I'm going to win it, aren't I? There's no point in doing it. Yeah, that's it. I didn't want to just boost your ego by giving you a one-person quiz.
It's fine. It's fine. Hopefully, well, Sam will be back next time.
Well, I was going to ask you who was the top assist maker in League 2, but, you know, you just gave it away. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Jody Jones, one of those assists was brilliant. A little drag back, and I think he did a nutmeg on the guy and then dinked it to the far stick. Absolutely superb. So, he's worthy of a scout report soon, for sure.
Yeah, let's focus on him as well as Macaulay Langstaff. Notts got loads of goals in their squad everywhere you look. If you want to follow us on socials, you can do at EFL Whatthe on X, formerly known as Twitter, Whatthe EFL on TikTok and Instagram. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. That helps more people find the show and lets us keep doing them. We will be back with a full house next week. Many thanks for your company today, and thanks to Adrian for his expertise. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.